My man, Brendan Whitted, at HU Cosell on Twitter. One of our Mr. Basketball triumvirates here on the Adam Gold Show joins us. All right, sir. Let's start with LeBron and the Lakers, who got, you know, beat in five, could have easily won two of the games that they lost, but didn't. And I don't think it's a fluke that they lost them. Denver's clearly better, but Jamal Murray had to hit two game winners to beat him. And LeBron James would not answer the question, politely said, I'm not answering that, about his future with the Lakers. Where is that team?
Obviously it matters what he's going to do. So he's going to opt out of his player option. He's got player option that can pick up for $50 million.
Right.
Next year. Yeah, just something light. But he has the opportunity to sign an extension with Los Angeles for 3 years, I think at about $160-165, at least at current cap projections. That whole team depends upon him doing that, because that's a top-loaded team. They're still on the hook for AD for a little bit, but they're not paying that many guys that much money moving forward. And they did that intentionally, one, because they weren't sure about LeBron's future, and two, because if it didn't work, they didn't want to be saddled. I think they're playing Reeves, they're playing AD, and maybe one other contract of significance. But they want to be able to have the versatility of, hey, what are we going to be able to do to put around LeBron to entice him to do it, or if he seems to be giving off airs that he's not going to come back, to be able to do a full strip down rebuild and to continue on and to not have these kind of dark days in LA, because the Lakers being the prominent franchise that they are, they don't want to have to deal with that.
Right. So what, like, LeBron after the game was talking about all of these injuries that they suffered this year. And then I look and like, man, you and AD basically played the entire season. Austin Reeves played basically the entire season. D'Angelo Russell, I mean, whatever, played basically the entire season. The guys that they missed, Cam Reddish, Jared Vanderbilt, are these really difference makers to the point where they would go from play-in to maybe, you know, fourth or fifth in the West? Because I just don't see injuries as the reason why the Lakers bowed out in the conference quarterfinals.
You can do it this way. You can make a correlation between, if they have Cam Reddish, who I thought was really kind of had found a place finally after bouncing around. He was in Atlanta. It was in New York. Maybe had found a place in a niche where he'd be able to thrive and do what he does best. Just couldn't stay healthy. Gabe Vincent also. That was a pickup for them. Not a huge acquisition, but got a point of attack defender and a catch and shoot guy to play alongside LeBron and AD to give them space and to let them work. That was important, too. You mentioned Vanderbilt. Like, they just couldn't get it from the rest of the guys. I thought D'Angelo Russell played a really good series. I'm not a big Russell fan, but I thought he played pretty well and shot the ball pretty well after having some kind of dry spots throughout the season. They just couldn't. It was too much for them.
Right.
So, but the correlation would be, if they didn't have to play the Nuggets this round, could they have played them later on? Because keep in mind, they got even in just a five-game series, they got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has some ankle or lower body injury, Reggie Jackson, and obviously Jamal Murray. So if they faced them a hobbled unit for a full series next round, let's say, and they actually had those contributors from those other guys, can they beat that team? As you mentioned, they were up, four out of the five games at halftime.
They had the lead for, the Nuggets only led in the series for, not as much as the Lakers did. But the Lakers had the lead, 80% of the series.
Yeah, and it was insane. But, they just couldn't finish these games. And I think that's a disheartening part if you're a Lakers fan. The whole thing was, hey, if we can keep it close and get to those crunch time minutes, we can win these ball games because our two are better than your two. That's at least what if you're a Lakers fan, that's what you have to be thinking. They just couldn't do it. You mentioned the Jamal Murray shots. Michael Porter Jr., man, look, that dude has 1,000 things going on off the court with his family, and not just Jonte, but his other brother who was sentenced for vehicular manslaughter, literally 2 weeks ago, and he is playing outside of his mind right now. So kudos for him for being able to just keep that sort of focus and keeping basketball on the court. But they just, Aaron Gordon, it was their four were just better than whoever the Lakers are going to roll out there. And I just, it's hard for me to see another team, perhaps outside of Dallas, beating the Nuggets.
Yeah, I'm going to throw, first of all, I love Oklahoma City. And Minnesota obviously played well to do what they did to Phoenix, and that's where we're going next. It did not work, according to Hoyle, in the Valley of the Sun. The Dream Team West, or whatever you want to call it, with Durant and Booker and Bradley Beal. Was that just ill-suited to begin with, or was there some other reason Phoenix got swept by Minnesota? And really, only one game was tight.
Yeah, that was a poorly constructed team. And, like, that was kind of the thing when everybody looked at those three guys. Those are ball-dominant guys, but not just that they all could – they need. It was going to be hard for them to find individual roles within that. But it was also, what else are you getting from everybody else, right? Like, and that was the other thing. They didn't get much from their bench. Grayson Allen had a good season, got an extension off of it, good for him. But there just wasn't a lot of other things going on that team. And so you take that, you take Bradley Beal, who has the injury history, right? Like, these are unknown things that they kind of walked into. And like, oh, well, Beal's been healthy his whole career. No, this is a guy who has frequently finished the season on the injured list, just couldn't get on the court. And so they tried to shoehorn him in late in the season, and it just didn't work. And it looked really, really bad towards the end of that season towards the end of the playoffs, because Minnesota's playing so well, and you have that almost like literal passing of a torch where you see Anthony Edwards and you see him, you know, the chuckles with KD. It's like, yeah, that was me 10 years ago, right? Like, that was when I was wearing the OKC uniform. That's what I was doing to these old heads.
Right.
And he couldn't do anything but laugh to be like, yeah, Edwards isn't even next up anymore. He's right now.
Yeah, he is.
And like, that was, they ran into a bus off, but they weren't. This team as constructed was just, it was a mess on paper, and it showed on the court.
I'd be interested to see what happens, because they're in a very similar position to what Brooklyn was in when Brooklyn went out and kept trying to create a dream team of their own.
Yeah.
Where they have no draft capital. They gave away four first rounders, and they have four first round swaps and the wrong side of that. So their next 8 years, they only get four first round picks, and those are going to be the lesser of two, unless both, I guess, are in the lottery. Who knows?
The thinking is that also that Beal has a no trade clause, and he's got one of, now you're looking at that contract now, he's got a couple years left, and it's like, man, that's a big number, and who's going to want to trade for him?
Right.
And he's got a no trade clause. It looks like if they're going to make some sort of drastic decision about that franchise, Booker, KD are going to have to be on the table. That's hard to imagine, but it's their quickest way out of the quagmire they're in currently.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Booker will certainly get you a couple of first-round picks. At this point, at age 36, I'm not sure Kevin Durant's going to get you everything you want, but who knows? I mean, maybe Kevin Durant's the final piece for, I don't know, Golden State. Never mind. We're not going to talk about that. Meanwhile, Steph, LeBron, and KD can all look forward to the Century Village Olympics this summer for USA Basketball, the old age home, going to the Olympic Games. What else would you call it? I was surprised that all three are on it.
Yeah, I was surprised. And then I'm also interested to see if Embiid actually plays, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, well, he's hurt. And now he's got a migraine.
Yeah, I mean, he has every ailment you can have while still playing reasonably well. Like, the injuries this year, and now I feel like a broken record because I feel like I do this every year, but it really does feel like this is the worst year, because it's not just guys. It's superstars,
yeah.
Zion, Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like,
right.
I don't know what's going on, but it just does feel like we are getting robbed of some of the stuff, because I wanted to see the Pelicans at least a little bit, just a little bit more, right? Like, I mean, I didn't think that they were going to beat OKC. They made a couple of these games close, but Zion would have made that a far more interesting series.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't have it. They didn't have the ceiling of OKC in those games, because SGA could always just turn it on and go supernova at any moment.
Can I make a deal that if Oklahoma City gets eliminated from the playoffs, that whatever commercial goes away with SGA and Chet Holmgren?
Chet Holmgren.
Can we get rid of that commercial?
You don't like it, man? I think
no, it's terrible. It's an awful commercial. It's an awful commercial. It's a terrible commercial. I like both of those players individually, but that commercial, I don't know, disturbs me. We don't have to talk about it. We'll move on. The Knicks and the Sixers are playing an old school series, I think. We're seeing Embiid just kind of fight through it. Very Willis Reed-like, one leg, it seems, managing to keep his team in games. But he hasn't been great in the fourth quarter because I think he's just worn out from carrying his team throughout. And to be honest, I can't recall a player not named Jalen Brunson doing anything for the Knicks aside from an occasional play from Dante DiVincenzo or Josh Hart. So Villanova is beating Philadelphia, which is interesting, in that series 3-1. That series could end tonight, but Embiid has a migraine. What has stuck out to you about that matchup?
Oh, man, it's hard not to just look at Brunson and think, how, at least for me, how wrong I was about him in terms of what his ceiling was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he goes for 47 and 10 assists. I understand he had 34 shots, but that was, as you mentioned, when you say old school 90s basketball, what you're talking about is ugly basketball where no one can make a shot.
Terrible.
Like, that's a very kind way of saying, oh, you know, this game has a nice personality, right? Like, cool.
Yeah.
But that's what this series has been. It has been a lot of half court. You're not going to attack in transition that much. There's a lot of half court games. And you know, I really do appreciate, though, the fact that the Knicks, the best Knicks team I've seen in the last 20 years or whatever it was. It wasn't because they got LeBron or KD or whomever superstar they were wishing upon a star to get in the offseason. It was Jalen Brunson. It's a trade for OG Anunoby. Hartenstein. Like, these are the guys that are making the difference for them, and that has to do nothing but with front office stuff. Because when they first signed that deal with Brunson, a lot of people, myself included, thought that they overpaid, and it looks like one of the best bargains in the sport.
Who knew? I mean, he was good in Dallas, right? He was a good second guy in Dallas, but he is a better first option with the Knicks. I am blown away by how good, and he is exactly the type of player that New York fans like because he works his rear end off. And I love his Villanova guys. It's hysterical. Where's Chris Jenkins?
Oh, gosh, I hate him so much. To this day, I still hate him. That's never going anywhere. On my deathbed, I'll be cursing that man.
I apologize for that.
But, like, they're also doing this without Julius Randle. And I understand that Knicks fans feel different ways about him, but he would at least make them a better, a more talented team. This is really just impressive work. Shout out to Tibbs, by the way. I mean, I know he'll play players to death, but he's able to get them on one accord, if particularly defensively. Like, he's done a massive job this year.
Brendan Whitted at HU Cosell on Twitter. Bison Express, all your Howard University stuff, but one of our Mr. Basketball, whatever I just said. All right, man, I'll talk to you very soon. Playoffs are hot and heavy. We got playoffs on ice, playoffs on wood. It's all good. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, man. I love it.
You got it.